You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Thursday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. I was bouncing around watching TV last night. I watched the 76ers and the Utah Jazz, Portland and Golden State. And I was also watching episodes of Ted Lasso. By the way, Jason Sudeikis is wonderful. He just won a Golden Globe, but he goes over to be a coach in the Premier League, and he's wonderful. It's cast so well, but he goes from being an American football coach in Kansas, I believe, and then he goes over to, he knows nothing about soccer, and he's great. But the casting is wonderful as well. Ted Lasso, can't say enough about how great it is. And you get a chance, give it a go. You'll love it. You'll be disappointed there's only one season so far. Because now I ration out how long it's going. The episodes are around 32 to 34 minutes, maybe at the most. And so I'll slow it down. I'll purposely pause it and then come back because I don't want the episode to end. But can't wait for season two of Ted Lasso. Yes, Eden.
I was so bummed when the first season ended because I loved that show. I absolutely loved it. And I was so bummed when the season was over and my wife was like, oh, what are you going to do without your friends? Kind of taking a shot because I was so invested in who these people are. It's the best show.
But don't you hate when your wife comes in when you're watching something and she wants to have you explain everything of, oh, so what are you watching? It's Ted Lasso. Who's Ted Lasso? Jason Sudeikis. What's it about? Well, he's a soccer coach. And I thought you didn't like soccer. Well, no, I like this because he's not a soccer coach. He knows nothing about it. How did he get the job? Because they want him to fail. Wait, so the owner wants him to fail. And then I'm going, never. I said, you know what? Let me talk to you tomorrow about this.
Like, babe, I would never do this to you during, like, Great British Baking Show.
Yeah.
Which, that show is awesome, but I would never be like, oh, it's scones, huh? Why are they making scones? Do they put flour in that? Why do you cook it at that temperature?
Like,
just watch the show.
Downton Abbey, I never interrupted my wife. Bridgerton, never interrupted my wife. Never. Like, I'd see it and I go, I'm just going to keep on moving here. But if I'm watching it, all of a sudden, you know, I watch the Billie Eilish documentary. And then she goes, what are you watching? I said, Billie Eilish. You like Billie Eilish? I said, I have great respect for somebody that young to do what she's done. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, then I'm explaining the Billie Eilish documentary while I'm watching the Billie Eilish doc. Thank God she didn't come around when I was watching the Tekashi 6ix9ine documentary. She never would have understood that. Yes, Paulie.
According to sources, Ted Lasso Season 2 is filming now. They started filming last month.
It.
Should be released in summer, July or August. Ted Lasso Season 3 has been green lit.
Yes.
So it appears it's going to have at least three seasons.
I love it. Casting is great on there. Yes, Ton?
Is it okay to ask questions during commercial break? If your wife is watching something and then you're casually walking by and you're getting into it a little bit and you don't want to bother her during the actual content, but during a break you start grilling her with questions so you can get caught up.
Yeah, but you watch shows with commercials. This is streaming. That's the difference.
So you have to wait till the entire episode is over pretty much?
Yes. Like, you watch something on ABC.
Well, like Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Yeah. What are commercials, Todd?
So I jump in during a commercial break of Real Housewives. I'm like, why is Joe pissed off at Teresa? I don't understand.
By the way, have you watched Basketball Wives?
I did the other day.
Okay, first of all, they're not wives. I think they're desperate for wives, so they have girlfriends, too. So it's basketball, it should be Basketball Wags, right? Isn't that wives and girlfriends?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, McLovin.
But they're not NBA players either. They're all like G League or
like,
Europe.
Like Kwame Brown's girlfriend. Like, that's not really Basketball Wives. He's not a basketball player and that's not your wife. But other than that, and I did do a drive-by because I thought, oh, what are they talking about? And then I went, no. That's not good. Can't do it. Like, that's when you go, hey, I can't, there's no more Bachelor episodes. Oh, you know what? Or Real Housewives of. That's when you go really low with Basketball Wives there. Yes, McLovin.
Yeah, I mean, Gennaro Pargo's wife is not exactly must-see. I mean, they're good, but you're like, oh, yeah, I sort of remember that guy.
I also watched Shaq last night wrestling. He's 48 years of age. He's the biggest man on the planet, aside from Yao Ming. But when he's in the ring, when you see guys that you think are large wrestlers, and you realize, I mean, Shaq is, I guess, an honorary member of the Bills Mafia because he was knocked through some tables, knocked out of the ring, and it was pretty impressive. Cody Rhodes, it was impressive what Shaq did. But, you know, he's just such a big dude.
It's so lucky that table happened to be there when he fell. Because who knew that that was the exact spot he was going to fall? Because the other three parts of the ring, there was no table.
And then they put him in an ambulance, too. He had to bend his knees to get into the ambulance. Oh, he's a treat. Is he the most famous person on earth? I mean, I'm talking about being recognized. Now, you know, Michael Jordan is, but Michael Jordan hadn't played in a long time.
So if Shaq walked into a grade school with 8-year-olds
in China,
right, or an old folks home with 85-year-olds, everyone knows who Shaq is because of his presence and famousness. Like Cristiano Ronaldo is a very famous soccer player.
Yeah.
He puts on a pair of glasses and a hat, you may not notice him.
Yeah, if Shaq puts on glasses and a hat, it's still Shaq. Cristiano Ronaldo could, you know, be in Beverly Hills walking around. LeBron is really famous. I would say Tiger Woods is still the most famous person. Can you think of somebody who has bigger recognition worldwide than Tiger? Shaq can't hide. You know, Tiger could hide. You know, he's not imposing size-wise. I mean, when you're around Shaq, and I try to explain this to people, when you think somebody is big or tall, and then when you see Shaq and he's big and tall, but then Yao Ming makes, you know, I mean, he towers over Shaq. Yao Ming might be the biggest man on the planet, but Shaq probably is up there on the short list of most recognized. Like Joe Biden, you know, he goes to China, kids aren't going to know him. But Shaq goes there, everybody is going to know him. Yeah, Paulie.
A couple of years ago, we were in Minnesota. We were flying back for the Super Bowl, and I ran into Barkley at the airport. He was coming in town. We were leaving. And Barkley's a big guy. He's not as tall as Shaq, obviously, but he's a big presence. And he was walking through the airport. It was like a piece of candy with ants. People were just flocking to Barkley. He couldn't stop for a second or 20 people. And he's also beloved, Barkley.
Yeah.
Like, people have a great image of him. People want to talk to him. I was like, Chuck goes, I can't stop, man. I can't stop. He said hi, but he kept going, and it was like a throng of people following him.
But also, Shaq does commercials. You know, if you think of what he's done with Papa John's and, you know, that whatever, that the General. I mean, he's got like 5 or 6 of these commercials. That so he's always there. He's on the NBA, inside the NBA TNT. And, of course, the legacy as a basketball player. Yeah, Seton.
You know who are two people that are crazy famous, more famous than I think people realize? Will Smith, the actor. He's crazy famous all over the world. And The Rock.
The Rock, The Rock, I'll give you.
They are crazy famous.
Will Smith.
Yep. Will Smith is a mega super gajillion star. He's gigantic. And you would never even realize it.
But what's that from? The Fresh Prince?
No, I think he went on a run of like every 10 years or something like that, owning 4th of July because he'd release a new blockbuster.
Men in Black.
These like massive movies. Yeah, okay. Men in Black, Independence Day, all of his movies for a while. My numbers are a little wrong, but he would release a blockbuster on 4th of July every year or every other year, and they all did like $1 billion.
Jordan doesn't, you know, with the documentary, then he was reintroduced or introduced to a new generation, but he's more of a recluse. Like, Jordan's not out there. You might see him at a basketball game, but he's not interviewed. He did the documentary, but he's not readily available. He does have the Jordan brand, but you don't see Michael doing even commercials. I think he did the Hanes underwear commercials with Charlie Sheen, but he doesn't do too much. Yeah, Paulie.
Back in the day, if this were a discussion 10 years ago, Michael Jackson may have been my one seed. As far as recognizability.
Yeah.
Because he's been famous since he's 4.
Around the world. Yeah, McLovin.
How about cricket? That sport, I know the numbers on cricket are right there with soccer. They're huge, huge.
I know, but I could take the biggest cricket player in the world.
There is one guy. I don't know his name, but there's one cricket player.
Yeah, but he comes to the United States. Not a single soul knows him.
Yeah, but I bet you Shaq goes to India.
Shaq goes to India? They're going to know Shaq in India.
Okay.
He's Shaq.
Yeah, you're right.
My daughter went to India. They wanted pictures of her because she has blonde hair. Like, they were like fascinated. Imagine Shaq going to India. Be like, oh my God, that's a monument that's moving. That statue's moving. Yeah, Paulie.
That must be tough to like we were saying, Cristiano Ronaldo could put a hat and glasses on and probably hide from about 50% of the people on a normal street if he wanted to walk down. Shaq has no hide ability. He can't, you know, he can't like, there's nothing he could do.
No. He's bigger than you think he is. When he came in, when we were in Atlanta at the Super Bowl, and when he walks in, I just can't imagine. So I'm taller than Steve Nash. Like I'm heavier than Steve Nash. I can't imagine Steve Nash going against Shaquille O'Neal. Like I just couldn't imagine. And that's the first thing I thought of is, how do you drive on this guy? Or you get out of the way of his elbows, or you're never going to take a charge. I mean, I'm the same size as John Stockton. And I'm thinking, how do you go against somebody like that? And then you realize Yao Ming is even bigger than Shaq. Yeah, Paul.
And I'm fascinated by Shaq's day-to-day life. If he wants to go buy a new car, he can't just buy it off the lot. I mean, McLovin's 6'4", and he's driving a car like an SUV, and he's got to like put the thing all the way back. Shaq's 8 inches taller and 100 pounds heavier.
Well, I think he got one of the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter vans, and so they outfit it.
They adjust it, the seat, though.
And then they deliver it to you. Yeah.
But he can't do things like normal people. Like, if he wants to go buy a pair of jeans, he can just run to the mall. I know he's got people for that, but he has to have people for everything.
Yeah, I just can't see him in a Mini Cooper anytime soon.
Remember you did that Buick ad a few years ago?
Oh, I know. And I went, there's no way he has a Buick.
They had a slide in that Buick.
Yeah. But those guys will get the back seat taken out, or the back seat becomes their front seat, you know, with these guys who are, you know, 7-footers. All righty. Welcome to the program. As you can tell, already in progress. Frank Caliendo, the great comedian, will join us coming up. He played a role in recruiting J.J. Watt to the Arizona Cardinals. Frank's a big Arizona Cardinal fan. He'll join us coming up. I just want to know, you know, what was the sales pitch? Did he actually, was he serious, or did he do impressions of other coaches like John Gruden? And Dan Campbell, the Lions head coach, he's going to join us. That's next hour. But I just want to give you a heads up because I'm not allowed to talk about Jared Goff. I have to keep it vague because the trade is not official until, March 17th, something like that, I believe. And they're not allowed to actually say Jared Goff's name. But I thought, you know what? We'll have him on. He's a character. I had a really interesting introductory press conference, and he'll join us. So I have to deal in hypotheticals. Like, hey, if you were going to trade Matthew Stafford, what kind of quarterback would you be looking for? You don't have to give me any names. And then maybe he can talk a little bit about picking up Jared Goff. Sign up for the newsletter. And it's free, and there's a lot of great things that we're going to be doing with the folks who are on the newsletter, danpatrick.com. You go there, enter your email address, and you're good to go. You get a recap of the day's shows. Also, heads up on new shirts that we're going to have, new contests that we're going to have. You will hear it first on danpatrick.com. And we have a new interview. Last week was Jimmy Chitwood, the star of Hoosiers, Maris Valenas, who joined us. This week, James Caan, who played Sonny Corleone, of course, in Godfather, joins us. And it's probably the wackiest interview that I've done in a long time. But it's available tomorrow on those who have the newsletter, danpatrick.com. Let me see. What else do I have here? I want to talk a little bit about the Nets rolled the Rockets last night. And putting the debate about how he got out of town, there's no argument about how much better James Harden's current situation is compared to the last one. And last night, Harden and his Nets beat the Rockets, handing Houston yet another loss here, and that's 13 in a row. The Rockets are scrappy, but the talent level in Brooklyn is, that's a whole different stratosphere right now. And Harden looks comfortable. He looks in shape. He wasn't in shape with Houston, but had a triple-double last night. Economical last night, 10 of 15 from the floor, triple-double. But there's always a caveat with Harden. You know, we already know that he can do it and do it at a very high level in the regular season. This is about what can you do in a grueling seven-game playoff series. Defense tightens up a little bit, facing the same opponent for seven games. You know, he's in a great spot. Houston's left with basically nothing and a lot of questions about their future as they move forward. But James Harden moves on, and apparently, you know, all is forgiven. Maybe not forgotten, but all is forgiven. And do we have James Harden from last night, Seton? Here's Harden after the game.
Our reaction was, you know, hopefully I did something right. Obviously, I came up short of a championship, but the work on and off the court that I put in over those past 8 years, you know, was elite. Obviously, I think that's the only thing that I didn't do or didn't accomplish is the championship, which is difficult to you know, obtain. But as far as, you know, bringing excitement to the city, you know, taking care of the fans on and off the court is something that I try to contribute. So hopefully that outweighs that.
All right. You know, I left it up to Houston fans. I didn't have a say in it. I didn't care. You want to boo him, boo him. You want to cheer him, cheer him. Like, I mean, there weren't that many people there. I don't know if it was really going to impact Harden. It's not like, you know, sometimes when a guy leaves, then he comes back, and then the fans boo him every time he touches the ball. You know, I watched. You know, it was James Harden. It's just a James Harden in a different uniform there. Yeah, McLovin.
I was going to pitch a poll question. Are the Nets the favorite in the East? There's only three teams with winning records in the East, basically. It's Philly, Brooklyn, and Milwaukee.
It comes down to health. If those three are healthy, then of course they are.
They're the favorites. Oh, it did, of course. Yeah.
They would be the favorites in the entire NBA right now, in my opinion. And that's with Anthony Davis coming back. Until I see the supporting cast with the Lakers step up, then I would probably look at Brooklyn with those three because you can't match those three. You might have a better all-around team. You might have more depth, but you won't have three that matches their three. Yeah, McLeod.
Any chemistry concerns? Because it looks great with Harden and Kyrie right now. If you add Durant, you know what I mean? Like, is it possible that too much of a good thing?
Well, I think a month ago I worried because of Kyrie. But then Kyrie made the wise choice to say to James Harden, you're our point guard. It was obvious to everybody. I didn't know if it was obvious to Kyrie. But Kyrie's role, I'm curious about that. You know, everybody wants, you want to win, but people want their attention. This is why, you know, Super Bowl teams or championship teams break up. Because after a while you go, yeah, I want to get paid. Yeah, but you're going to go to a team, it's not any good. I just want to get paid. You know, everybody wants their attention. You're all in to win, and then you win, and then all of a sudden it's like, all right, I'd have won, now I want to do something else. I want to go someplace else. With Kyrie, he's always going to be the wild card. With what happened in Cleveland, what happened in Boston. KD, I don't worry as much about for some reason, but Kyrie, I do. Just not sure. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DP Show, and say good morning to Peacock, carries the show, watch all 3 hours, and also our radio affiliates around the country, numbering nearly 400. Warriors Suns coming up tonight, one, I guess, marketable college basketball game, Texas and Oklahoma. We'll take a break. Frank Caliendo in the on-deck circle on how he helped recruit J.J. Watt to Arizona. We're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Discover matching all the cash back you earned at the end of your first year. What a great deal this is. And if you forget what it's called, Cashback Match, only by Discover Card. And you can discover something brighter. This is what they do. Any credit card can offer cash back, but only Discover matches all that cash back you earned at the end of your first year. So it's stuff with your first year cash back match. You don't have to send a thank you note. Cash back match only by Discover card. Learn more at discover.com/match. Discover.com /Matt. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
We were just looking at a picture of Yao Ming with Shaq. Shaq looked like a normal human being next to Yao Ming. Even this picture that, of course, Paulie found a picture of J.J. Watt with Yao Ming.
Oh, part of the collection.
Oh, J.J. Where vans stop short, Mercedes-Benz vans go far beyond, from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, to their five-star sales, service, financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz vans, build, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go the extra mile, taking that all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. He's the popular Frank Caliendo, comedian, impersonator, impressionist, all-around good guy, and Arizona Cardinal diehard fan, and he joins us on the program. All right. What role did Frank Caliendo play in J.J. Watt coming to the Cardinals?
I'm a facilitator, Dan. I make things happen. I don't know. It's so funny how this stuff gets blown out of proportion. I'm basically, when Steve Keim needs something done, he comes to me. I'm the Ray Donovan of the NFL. That's what I am. I'm like his Yoda. He puts me on, he wears me like a backpack and runs around Dagobah. That's what's going on. I've known J.J. Watt for quite a while, actually. I've known him. I'm kind of friends with him, but I'm not like great friends with him to the point where I could ask favors of him or something like that. But a while back, Keim asked me, Steve said, "What?" Or actually, anytime
And Steve Keim is the GM of the Cardinals. Just let everybody know.
Yes.
Okay.
Anytime a free agent comes up or something like that, I'll text Steve Keim and go, "You want me to take care of this?" as a joke. And I, with J.J. Watt, asked for his release. He got it. And I said to Steve, I go, do you want me to take care of this? And he's like, do it. I was like, okay. I thought he was joking. He's like, do you text him yet? I'm like, no, I haven't. He goes, do it. So I just text him. And it was really a soft sell because I have, you know, Packer fans are mad at me right now. And I knew this could be the thing. Packer fans mad because I grew up in Wisconsin. Cleveland Browns fans are upset. My wife's from Cleveland. And this is what I say to those fans. Your team didn't call me, so I couldn't help you. But it was good. I just texted him like, hey, Steve Keim won't leave me alone. I think it would be weird. People think I was like calling him as John Gruden.
Yeah, that's
I'll tell you what, man.
Yeah,
people thought I was like, I do that to all my friends. Like, I'll tell you what, man. You think it's, I could see you waiting for it. Like, you want to go play for somebody that isn't me? What am I going to do with a John Gruden impression on that? They call him up as Adam Schefter. According to my sources, this is what it appears is going to happen. You are going to sign with the Arizona Cardinals. Caliendo is going to have people incredibly mad. Jay Glazer,
you guys, I don't even understand what's going on here, guys. You guys know what it is. This is tough stuff. Listen, JJ, you come to Arizona. I got to just pop over there for my gym. You know, I'm working out with a lot of people. I'm training MMA stars. Listen, The Rock comes to me. When The Rock needs somebody, you see that show, the Kid Rock? You see that? I don't know if it's called Kid Rock. Young Rock? Wrong. Kid Rock, he plays music, right? That's the guy. But Demi Lovato once knocked out my tooth. Anyways, so I'll get Caliendo's spot. He can only do like 20-pound weights or something like that. But I can lift the entire – you ever use a universal machine? I spot that. That's a strong man.
So, yeah, it was all plain and simple. But the people would just keep running with these crazy stories about well, you know how it is. A couple years ago when Steve Keim came on with you, all of a sudden I changed the NFL draft. And it was me just calling him and leaving him a message. Or it wasn't even that. I texted him from my phone as John Gruden. I'll tell you what, I got a trade idea. Next thing you know, after I'm on your show, people are going crazy thinking it's some kind of I disrupted the draft. No. It was just simple.
I do like the idea. Like, I don't want the truth. I like the idea that you did call and just started impersonating people. I mean, that you should go with that, Frank.
Well, that's why I'm lying a lot. I set this record straight at the end, but I lie up front. You know, I call Bruce. I like Bruce Arians. I was like, "Hey, Daddy, what are you doing, man? Do me a favor. Can you give me a Tom Brady? I want Tom Brady. Give me a Crown Royal. Give me that. Give me Tom Brady. I tell you what, if we win a championship, here's what we're gonna do, Daddy. I'll let them throw it on from boat to boat. And bring in Gronkowski. Somebody call Belichick. Make that happen, Daddy. That's what it's all about."
Yeah. There's no Cliff Kingsbury impersonation, is there?
No, I don't. He's so tall and lean and smooth. I think it would be difficult for me to pull anything. It's easy for me to pull off an Andy Reid and just do this, put a mustache on and throw the hat on. That stuff's easier. But no, not really anything for Cliff Kingsbury.
When did you become a Cardinal fan?
Well, I live on the same street as the Cardinals facility. So, and I'm kind of wishy-washy. I grew up a Packer fan. I've still got the Packers part of my heart. But then, you know, become friends with John Gruden. I'm at an Aerosmith concert with John Gruden, you know, about 12 months ago right now. I got to help, you know, I got to root for them because they're always inviting me to
Wait. How do you end up at an Aerosmith concert with John Gruden?
Oh, you don't know about that? I was in Vegas, and I texted his right-hand guy, Jeff Leonardo, and I, because I'm scared of Gruden still. Gruden will text me at like 3 a.m, like, "What are you doing, man?" Like, becoming frightened, tinkling myself because you're texting me. He's just like, they went to a country concert the night before, and then I couldn't do that because I had to do something with my son and my brother-in-law, who was there for a convention at the time. And then he's like, "We're going to Aerosmith tomorrow." So Gruden, we get there, Gruden grabs his phone. He's like, "I'm sitting here at the Aerosmith concert with my good friend, John Gruden. How's it going, Johnny?" Which made me realize that in his head, Gruden thinks of himself as Johnny. That's who he, I'll tell you what, I'm Johnny Lawrence. I'm opening up a Cobra Kai here, man.
Could you fool Mike Mayock if you called as John Gruden?
No, because they've done that. You know, Keim messed with him one time. Steve sent him a message. He's like, "Hey, Gruden called me. Is this real?" And Mike Mayock's text back to him was, "Nice job, Kelly." And nice job. Yeah. So, yeah, people basically know it's me. But at the end, it's kind of funny because a lot of times – the things Gruden will do, he tells everybody he loves him. Have you ever heard that or know that about him? Like at the end of phone calls, like, "Love you, man." And then he hangs up. It's like, what? It's just so awkward.
He's Frank Caliendo, the great comedian, joining us on the show. I was curious about this to get into your craft. Is it more about facial than it is the
expressions?
Than it is the actual words you use?
Yeah, I think there's a combination of things. I think it starts with, for me, because there are people who do dead on voices. Some voices I do are like right on the money. Some are cartoons. If I can't do it right on the money, I go for more of the cartoon. Daryl Hammond, I think, is the best I've ever seen that can do that. Just mimicry right on and get the person exactly. I try to, and Dana Carvey would make them big cartoon characters, right? You'd see him doing, I think back to the heyday of Saturday Night Live. He's like, "Not gonna do it." George H.W. Bush never said that, right? And that was something that he created. When I came up with the Madden thing, it was that. That's what made it go bigger, right? Will Sasso doing Kenny Rogers. "I'm Kenny Rogers." Well, you make it bigger, and that's what makes it a lot of fun. So I think to create the character out of it, yeah, it becomes part of is the face. Part of it is the voice, and then it's what you say as well. One of the things that recently, which has a little bit of a face, is Romo and Nance. And they started doing me doing them. I don't know if you heard that, but the Tony Romo bit is, "Oh, Jim, this is incredible and amazing. And it's amazing and incredible." And right before something's about to happen, Romo goes, "Here we go, Jim." And it's like he's got this huge smile. Like you can see him. "Oh, Jim, this is really, really great. I can't wait to see what's about to happen here. Here we go, Jim." And then I couldn't do much Nance, so all I could say was one word. It was Tony, because he goes, "Here we go, Jim." But when you do Jim Nance, when Jim Nance gets excited, it's like somebody's playing with the audio dial, and it's like, it's to the sideline. So I would go, here we go, Jim. So it was, the bit was, here we go, Jim. Tony. Oh, Jim is really, really good. So they did it twice during the season. I was like, are you kidding me? And Nance would screw it up. So Romo would go, here we go, Jim. And then Nance would go, here we go, Jim. No, Tony. So
they're imitating you, imitating them.
Yeah. It must have been the crew must do it all the time. And I started doing it to viral videos. You know, somebody would fall off a cliff. Remember Johnny Manziel jumping off like cliff diving? And, oh, Johnny Manziel, we haven't seen him. He's going to be in this new league. But what's going on right now? We're not sure what's going to happen. And he's going to jump. Here we go, Jim. Tony Splash.
What have you been working on the last year?
People don't know this, but I was instrumental in creating the vaccine for COVID.
Congratulations. No, what have you been working on with your show? Like any new people?
There's always new stuff. I've been doing a lot of Avengers things, you know, just the Robert Downey Jr. Do me a favor. Enjoy me. Okay. For Loki, my brother. I am Loki of Asgard and emburdened with glorious purpose. You know, just throwing stuff like that around. The BA, I did a charity event with Bruce Arians a couple weeks ago. It's so funny because I had the hat, the glasses. I could go grab it right now. I was actually going to do it. I should have done that. But it's amazing how quickly I could turn into BA by just holding my breath as long as I can. That's what I'm talking about, Daddy. I know I'm off the screen right now, and you're on it. I know what you're doing.
Frank just got out of his chair to go get his Bruce Arians hat and sunglasses or glasses.
It's prop. Yeah, I'm a prop. Prop. I've been hanging out with Carrot Top a lot. That's what I'm talking about, Daddy. I mean, that's what we're talking about, Daddy. We're doing it. Was that Stretch Armstrong in front of you there, Daddy? Come on, man. Wait, you do everything you got to gas from the office. Make it happen. Win or lose, we booze, baby. That's what we make it. Make it happen. That's what the game plan was. Some people said, how you get Tom Brady? I don't know. You tell me how to get Tom Brady. I tell you, I'll smoke or something. That ain't what happened, Dad. Daddy, cry or bleed, we weed. Come on, man.
I always think that it's interesting when you're around somebody who does impressions, impersonations, that we feel like you can do everybody. Like, yeah, you know, because I've said it before, you know, there's certain things I might not be easy to do. You might get like the delivery that I may have or the pauses I may have. Like Jim Rome, you do a good Jim Rome, but Jim Rome gives you those opportunities to go. Those are bite-sized portions that I can sort of take and I can make that mine.
Yeah. And Rome, you start to feel like is a character, right? He's a big guy doing great things. And you, Dan Patrick, fight to be the regular guy. You're normal. So, yeah, I think that's, you know, when you listen to Stephen A. Smith, it's the, you know, the veracity of what's going on. Yeah, I understand. Everybody who ramps it up and gets to that bigger stuff, that makes it a lot easier. So, you know, and analysts are always easy, too, because what do? They break down people in sports. So you just do that in real life. If you're doing Shaq and Charles Barkley, that's what I thought. What do you think, Shaq?
It's pretty good. Everything's going to be. I agree with the first half of what you said, Shaq, but the second half, when you started going to esoteric lyricism, I'm not really sure that applies here.
A few months ago, I did Shaq with Shaq and. He came up with a new character, and it's not a political thing at all, but it was Shaq Trump. And he's like, that's hilarious. That's tremendous. So Shaq's doing the Trump.
Very, very good.
And he's like, I was like, that's my new character, Shaq Trump. He's like,
you have my permission.
Because we can all do impersonations, or at least we think we can, but it's the content that you apply to the impersonation that really separates you from everybody else, in my opinion.
Yeah, at times, you know, sometimes it just depends on what it is. And when I run out of a joke, when I run out of jokes, I just go from voice to voice and talk to myself. It's the greatest gimmick of all time, right? It's just like I could create a conversation. That's what he does. He just talks about being different people. I'll tell you what, man, you go from voice to voice at least. Oh, Jimmy's doing it right now. Here we go, Jim. Tony. Oh. Are you ever going to be able to watch Nancy Romo? No.
But how is your wife, though, when you're working on your material? Does that, like...
She's never laughed a day in her life at me.
But around the kitchen table, are you annoying?
Has nothing to do with the voices, but yes, 100%. we've been married for 16-17 years. I'm truly annoying to her. I think I was annoying from the beginning. It's just she still says she came to see me at a comedy club. It was the improv in Cleveland, and she didn't laugh at anything I did. And it was like she was covering her mouth because she thought I was so terrible, and she wanted her $12 back. And now we live in a really nice house and all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, that's the best investment you've ever made. You did pretty well.
Yeah.
With that $12. So, yeah.
Leave us with Romo and Nance, and congratulations on getting JJ Watt. So,
listen, and if your team needs something, let me know.
It's too late for that, Frank. Too late for that. All right, give me one more Romo and Nance before we say goodbye.
Oh, Jim, it's been an incredible interview. He did a couple of voices, and we're at the beginning. Dan really expected it, that that's what it was going to be all about. Didn't turn out to be that way, but we made it to something else, and that's Dan Patrick being Dan Patrick. Oh, going to commercial. Lead us into it. Here we go, Jim. Tony!
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. McLovin came in this morning. He goes, did you hear about Baker Mayfield? I go, no. You didn't hear the story about Baker Mayfield? I go, no. And then I keep waiting. I said, just tell me the story. He goes, no, I'm going to wait, make you wait. All right, McLovin, Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield tweeted last night, or maybe this morning, almost 100% M is his wife,
yeah,
just saw a UFO drop straight out of the sky on our way home from dinner. We stopped and looked at each other and asked if either of us saw it. Very bright ball of light going straight down out of the sky toward Lake Travis. Anybody else witness this?
Okay.
So, which led to a discussion about
do you believe in UFOs? Yeah.
And there's people on this side of the glass,
all right,
not just us.
Let me just ask. Okay. Yeah. Let me see who I think believes in UFOs. Now, it's not, it's just yes or no, Todd. Like, it's not, well, you know, it's yes or no. I think Todd believes in UFOs. I think Seton believes in UFOs. I don't think McLovin believes in UFOs. And I don't think Paulie believes in UFOs. Todd, yes or no, UFOs?
Yes.
McLovin?
No.
Seton?
Yes.
Paulie?
100% no.
Boom. 4 from 4. I believe in UFOs.
Now, when you say UFOs, do you mean objects in the sky that are unexplainable or life on other planets that fly down in saucers and peek at us?
Aren't they called unidentified foreign objects?
Right.
That's the UFO. That doesn't mean that there's life on other planets.
I think, but the standard definition, if you believe in UFOs, you believe...
I don't have standard definition. I got 4K.
At this point, the government has already declassified a ton of video of UFOs flying around. Like, it's not even a debatable fact anymore. Like, they obviously exist. It's
Wait, now when you say UFOs, do you mean things from in the sky that are unexplainable or life from another planet in some type of vehicle hovering above us?
I mean, life from other planets with, like, some type of vehicle hovering above
us. Now, my question is, why do they always hover and never land and check things out? They just fly above.
They do.
Usually Arizona and Utah and Texas, never Vermont or anything like that. But why do they hover and never land?
Well, I think they do land.
Where have they landed?
Like New Mexico, places like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And why New Mexico?
It's never Manhattan.
Well, there's more room to land in New Mexico.
Right. Like, Vermont is all mountains and stuff like that, so it's probably not the easiest place to find a nice flat place to land your saucer.
Topography.
So Nebraska would be a hotbed for landing UFOs.
Could be. Yes, McLovin.
I do think, too, out west, there's a lot of military flying going on that could lead to some of this. And that's why you would see things out there. I'm not saying that means they're not UFOs, but I think you might see a lot of weird things in the sky out there because of the Air Force. Possibly.
Yes, Todd.
I think they do land. They land often. There was a movie a long time ago called They Live with Rowdy Roddy Piper, where they could take the shape of a human being. And I'm sure we've all met a couple of questionable people where you wouldn't be totally shocked.
Well, that's a movie, though, Todd.
Right, but I believe there are some humans among us that
not
may
only is
be
that a
alien.
Movie, it's one with Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yeah, so that's the authority. When I think
and when he
UFO,
puts on these glasses, he could see who's a human, who's
exactly
who's
what he could see.
You know the difference between a movie and like a documentary, right?
I do. I am aware that it's a movie, but I do think that there are maybe some humans that are actually aliens that are able to take on the form of a human.
Because I saw this show, it's called Star Trek, and you know, they went to other planets and there are people on there.
And therefore they exist.
And they do.
ALF is a documentary, right?
ALF. So recapping, Fritzy believes in UFOs, McLovin doesn't, Seton does, Paulie doesn't, I do. The new Peacock original Punky Brewster is perfect for the whole family. Best of all, it's free. You can get all episodes streaming for free exclusively on Peacock. Sign up at PeacockTV.com and get started there. Let me see. Jamie in North Carolina. Hey, Jamie, what's on your mind today?
Hey, guys. Hey, Dan. 6'4", 195. And UFOs, I believe they exist, but I was calling in reference to the most recognizable person on the planet. I think it's Paul McCartney. Now, George is my favorite, but I think he's been around longer than all the other guys, so he's more recognizable, and he has that, you know, it's Paul McCartney. You know him right away, who he is.
You know what? If I put Paul McCartney in a grade school in China, they have no idea who Paul McCartney is. If I have Shaq walk in there, they're probably saying Shaq. Right, probably no. You know, it's just his size. Paul McCartney's famous, but he's not famous like Shaq is. Jeff in Detroit. Hey, Jeff, what's on your mind?
What up, though? You would have asked that question back in the 80s with Michael Jackson. Say, say, say. It wouldn't have been a question. Listen, do me a favor, please, Dan.
Uh-oh.
Dan, my coach is getting ready to come on. Tell him, and I don't speak for all of Detroit, but I'm a long-suffering fan, so I think I got the right to just say a little something. I haven't seen a playoff victory since my 12th grade year in high school. Please just take us there. I don't care what happens. And tell him if he wants to endear himself to Detroit fans, three words when he steps up to the podium. What up, though? We're expecting big things from him, and tell him we're riding with him. We've cleared all of the craziness out of here. Keep Galladay and let's build. Let's do this because I got a shower. Tell them I got a shower shank too on this.
Thank you, Jeff. Yeah, we have Dan Campbell, the Lions head coach, joining us coming up in about a half hour. Next hour, Chris Sims, his thoughts on why he would take Zach Wilson over Trevor Lawrence and what concerns he has about Trevor Lawrence once he gets to the NFL. Did you update the poll results, McLovin?
I didn't even tell you what the poll was. It's about Sam Darnold.
2 hours in?
Yeah.
All right.
I put it up.
We'll take a break then. After the break, you can let me know. Seton, Pauly, Fritz, and McLovin, yours truly. This is the Dan Patrick Show. Oh, but wait, there's one more item before we say goodbye to this Tuesday. Guys, when we get to the studio every day, you got to hit the ground running. What's the lead story? What are the angles we're covering? Guest list, all of these things. But you got to have energy here. I mean, I got to keep up with these younger guys in here. These Danettes are a lot younger than me. I start my day every day with M-Drive, supplement for guys who want to stay on top. Powerful ingredients backed by science help me get energized and stronger and leaner. You can hear it in my voice. I'm competitive. I want to be great. Every single day is the Super Bowl. It takes work, takes drive. You want to be the best. No plans to slow down. So how do you feel today? Sluggish, tired, gaining weight, losing your drive? Try M-Drive for yourself. Everyday supplement for guys with drive. Get M-Drive at Walgreens, Rite Aid, Vitamin Shop, or you can go directly to the website mdrivedan.com. You can do that today. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Go to mdrivedan.com. Refind your prime with M-Drive.